You are welcome to the podcast of Dominion Chapel International, the special place. We are a church that believes in pure worship, unadulterated word and family. Be enlightened as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. What is faith? What is faith? Don't be afraid. You cannot be wrong. You can always be right. Then we'll add something to your right. Right. Anybody? In your own understanding. In your own understanding. I'm not producing any marking scheme yet. So, yeah. Yes, sir. According to who? Yes, sir. Read again. According to verse 1, he has played it in safe. Faith is our what? Belief in God that moves us to good things. The first one is better. In response to his promises.
In response to his promises.
Uh-huh.
So that we see them.
So that we see what?
See the promises of God come to pass.
Okay, that's all right. The reason why I chose the previous one, the response, is very, very simple. According. It's according. It's either according to, according from. But there is a response. There is the promise of God. There's what the word of God has said. And there is your consideration of that word. And the fact that you believe, and so you are responding to the word. The response is action. And faith cannot be without action. Belief could be mental. Action shows you that a person has believed and believed. You are responding to what God has said. That's good. Any other person? Yes, sir.
Faith is the evidence of the word of God.
I didn't hear what you said. Yes.
Faith is the evidence of the word of God alive in the man.
Faith is the evidence of what? Will you permit me to make some correction there? The word is evidence. The word is the evidence. So when you accept the word and you apply the word to a situation, and the devil begin to ask you, how far do you think you can go? So I can go all the way to the end of glory because this is the evidence of God. God has said, and I believe it, and that settles it. I just believe what God has said. I don't care whether you understand or you don't understand. So that's the faith element here. The word is there. You have read it. You have taught it. But you've not come to a point of believing it to the extent of acting on that word. Now, if you keep on asking questions, I'll have diverse expressions. And that, to me, is encouraging. Because some things have been taught already. And if you have been here, and if you really were here, because we are here now, there are some of us who are not here. and I'm begging them to please be here. Spirit, soul, and what? And body. No, not just your spirit alone. I mean, your body alone. You must be here. You should be able to give an account of what you heard today when you leave this place. The same way you are able to give account of the football matches that you watch. Some of you will give account to the minimal or the what do you call it, the tiniest details of the match. All the names of the players, the time they hit the ball, and how many missed the ball, and all the rest of that. You know everything. You know the referee's name, the assistant referees, you know their names. You know everything. Because you want to show that you were there, or at least you watched. I don't understand why you come in here, you are listening to God's word, and you cannot be present fully. So tell somebody for me, be present. Let your heart be here. Let your spirit be here. Let your mind be here. Amen. There are many challenges of life that many of us, if not all of us, go through. But our solution is in the word. Anytime we come to where the word is being taught or preached, the enemy won't distract us so that we don't get solution and establish our freedom from the challenge that we are going through. He said, cast your burdens unto me. Why? Because what? Cast your burdens upon me because what? Good. So when you stay in his presence, you cast your burdens on him. I know how to do it. I know it. Because we dream here with them. So what you see? Already, why now? Now you're ready. And you have to be here. So why now? Now you're ready. It's not an insult. You are confronting God with his own evidence. That is the work of faith. And where does faith come from? You were taught. Those who have answered shouldn't come in again. Where does faith come from? Pastor Basi. I saw your hand up. Yes. By hearing. And hearing the word of God. Hearing. And hearing by the word. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing comes by what? The word. So in the walk of faith, until the word of God speaks to you, you cannot have faith in it. And I've always said that the word of God is a capsule. The letter of the word is a covering. That sugar-dominated covering that you see. When you open it, you will see substance inside. That substance is the medicine you are looking for. But for convenience sake, you are giving the medicine in the capsule. And then when you swallow, the heat in your system melts the shell, and then you have what you are looking for. So the word of God is like that. And that is why it was mentioned to you in some of the teachings that meditating on God's word is a major access. It's a major access to the word, the spirit of the word. Jesus said, the word I speak to you, or the words I speak to you, they are what? Spirit and they are life. But until you are able to get the life of the word and the spirit of the word, you can't have faith in that word that is spoken. And so you don't read God's word like you read a newspaper. In actual fact, even newspaper, you don't just read through. Many of you sit down to analyze and you make your comments. It is history, dead information. But you sit down and then you analyze. Why is this fellow always talking like this? This government is deceiving us because you saw something, you thought about it, and then you said something. But when we take the Bible, we read it wrong and go away. We can't even remember. I was looking for a scripture today in the morning. I almost beat myself. Why? Because the scripture I've used for many, many years. But I think for some weeks I've not gone that to that area, and certainly I couldn't remember the reference. And it taught me a lesson. The more time you spend with the word and in the word, the stronger you become on every side. Faith work calls for your constant attention with the word of God. Now, I will spend a few minutes to share with you on something. I asked my wife a question yesterday. What is the sovereignty of God? Sovereignty. When we talk about sovereignty, what do we mean? The sovereignty of God. Somebody help me. You know, you see, Pastor is coming up with a program where I will sit with you like this for hours and we are talking Bible. It's coming up very soon. All right. So, what is sovereignty? Mrs. Appa, what is sovereignty? Anywhere you run to, I will catch you. Yes. As much as you know.
The majesty of God.
The majesty of God. You see how she's trying to confuse me again. Bring it down. Oh, say it now before I call your husband to help you.
So the awesomeness of God, the beauty of God, the glory of God.
One more
thing. At this point, you get where you can't express who God is. You are lost in his glory.
Okay. Pastor. Continue. He knows himself. Very fast, very fast. I hope you are not missing out on the things being said here. Thank you, man. Yes.
Sovereignty is the total authority of an entity. So,
if the say, total authority of an entity.
That an entity
I didn't talk about entities. I talk about God.
If you say the sovereignty of God,
yes,
it's a combination of all the things that God exudes that come together to describe that authority. So His Majesty, His glory, everything comes together to make Him a sovereign God. The beauty that she has described comes together to make Him a sovereign God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Right. Yes.
The sovereignty of God is the totality of God's authority.
The totality of God's authority.
The totality of God's authority that is incontestable. So it doesn't have, it has no equal and it has no rival. It's the final, it's complete, and it's total.
The awesomeness of His power. The awesomeness of His authority. The Bible just describes it with the outstretched hand or the outstretched arm of the Lord. The authority of God that has no limit at all. I'm asking that question. Sorry, Pastor Basi, I have to go on. Praise God. The awesome power that God has is the assurance that you have in the work of faith. Who am I trusting? Who am I obeying? Whose word am I holding so dear? Is that person worth it? Can he prove this word? Is it going to work? Does he have the capacity? So when we talk about faith, I want to look at the sovereignty of God. His word cannot fail. His word cannot be contested. He doesn't need the permission of anyone to make the word work. He doesn't quote anybody. We all quote him. Awesome God. Whatever he has said is as good as done. So there's no danger in walking with the word of God. It's not a risk to walk in faith. It is not what? So there's no fear at all in walking in faith. Because the one who has spoken and whose word we are now applying to our situations is a final authority. And he cannot fail. By two immutable things, word by God cannot what? Lie. So I'm trying to establish something in your mind and in your spirit now. That the word of God can never fail. Thy word, O Lord, is settled well. Amen. It's settled. So if God says this concerning you, then you don't need to ask anybody for assurance. God said we're a new creation. You don't need the attestation of men because you have fulfilled the conditions that make you a new creation. If you look at your color before and after, you will fail. Because a new creation does not change your stature. It changes you. It gives life to the real you, the you that is in you. That's your life counts. And that you in you, after it's been touched by the power of the Holy Ghost, now begins to reflect on your body. And in every situation that concerns you. So have faith in God. Mark chapter 11 and verse what? Okay, give it to us. Let's see whether 22 is correct or 23. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And we are made to understand by those who have authority in the languages that have the God kind of faith. He never doubts anything that he says. He says it and he goes to rest. Because it is done. One day I made a statement here that if God told you that the color of this room is green, don't ask him whether he's sure. All we are seeing is black, is that also? And then suddenly he tells you the color of this room is green. But I saw black. By the time you turn, you will see green. Why? His word cannot be contested by anyone and by any situation. So when he says you are lifted, don't try to check your body if you are handling the air, but you are lifted. You may not have any connection anywhere, but God said you are lifted. God announces to you an open door, and you want to check, examine if it is possible because you don't have the qualification. God doesn't look for qualification. Not that which men set up. When God leads you, nobody can bring you down. Because the criterion that he used will be different from what men want to see. Whatever God has said concerning your life, concerning my life, we just have to believe because it is as he has said. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Where was the light? Don't trouble your head. Your head is too small. Your brain is too small to understand what the light was. But he said, let there be light, because it was there. And something had come between him and the light. And he now commanded that which was to cease to be, and the light will be seen. There's a glorious being on your inside. He has no deficiency at all. That is the person God wants to find expression in your life. You are excellent. Fully excellent. You are able to do all things. That person is inside you there. If you by faith allow him to show forth, you will be amazed at the things that will happen to you. One man of God, I think now he's an archbishop in Nigeria, when he was at a university, in fact, he knew poverty. I think poverty, himself and poverty were born the same day, and they lived together. His name is Osaoni. If you have been dealing with Nigerians, you understand, you know that man. Now, he was so poor that when he was at the university, sometimes hunger would so deal with him that if he wanted to defecate, he would go to the bush. And after doing that, he would be compelled by certain instincts in him to want to take it back. You see, you have not seen, I only said it. And you are feeling it. It's not there, it's not in front of you, so don't worry. He said it happened several times. Then the Lord visited him. When the Lord did what? No. 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, where those, he said, he looked at himself one day and he called his name, Osaoni, are you the one here or is somebody else? That was the beginning of his conviction of faith. So there is something in me, if that one comes out, it will change my horizon. There is something inside you. Anytime you read scriptures, you come across issues that are addressing you. But because we run very fast. We want to announce to people that we read 10 chapters. And what happened with the 10 chapters? It's not how much you have read. It is how much you've been able to encounter in what you read. If God has helped one person, then he has the capacity to help you also. Because he is no respecter of persons. If we are all his children, he loves us the same way, then what he has done for one, he's able to do for the other. If you have this little understanding, you will stop sorrowing. If you have this little understanding, you will stop complaining. We spend time to complain too much. When I appear lost, I enter the wonderland. We're coming to church this morning. I was talking to Mike, but Mike has been helping me, bringing me Eddie to church. We're coming this morning, and I was sharing some things with him, and I told him that I believe in meditation, and I do it a lot. So much so that you may be with me, talking to me, but I may not be with you. So when you come to talk to me, and the next time I ask you, I saw you here, but what were you saying? Don't be offended. that bishop doesn't value my visit. I went to him, I was talking to him, and he's now asking me what I was saying. When you came, he didn't wake me up. You met a man sitting there, and you assume I was the one. And you were talking to that man. But the person you were looking for had traveled. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You should get to a point where you will commune with God and know nothing will distract your attention. So in the midst of a multitude shouting, you should be able to communicate with your God. Doesn't matter. When it comes to that point, I don't care who is around me. So faith cometh by hearing. But that hearing cometh by what? The word. They speaking to of the word. The word must speak to you. Some of the translations of the Bible, they have removed that one. They said faith coming by hearing. Then they stopped. Faith coming by hearing the word. Now, hearing the word, no. The King James got it right. By hearing and hearing by the word. The word must speak to you. If you have to spend one whole day on a particular scripture to break through and enter the spirit and life of that word, then you are indeed in the journey of faith. And you now begin to see the majesty of God manifested in your life. So one, know that God is omnipotent. God is a sovereign God, and know that He loves you much as He loves anybody else. He loves you so much. You are not inferior. You are not an outcast. You are God's own bona fide child. You are God's own. You should be able to beat your chest and call yourself who you are. I remember in those days when we began our Christian walk, we were taught to stand before our mirrors and address ourselves. Like Job, it became so rewarding. So you look at yourself and you call your name, Isaiah. This is who you are. And then you begin to talk to yourself. By the time you are done in 15 minutes, your confidence level has already gone up. And you will begin to see yourself in a new light. Those were the things that we were talking about, I think during the beauty of the cross and thereafter. But let me tell you something. The fruits of the cross cannot be beneficial to you until you are able to enter into the spirit of it. You don't get it at all. You can talk it, but you can't be a partaker. That takes me to 2 Peter 1. Our major scripture for the year. Yeah, can we read that together? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Okay, better. Let's take it from 2 to 4. So go back to 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Prophet Adam did a lot of work on that scripture. But let me tell you something from here. We have exceeding great and precious promises. These promises, because we have escaped the corruption from what Christ did for us there, in that vicarious assignment that he did, it is intended to bring us into a point of manifesting, being partakers of the divine nature. Now, so the promises are there, but they don't automatically make you a partaker of the divine nature. Hello?
Hi.
There are promises, great, precious promises, that by these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. And one thing that you need to address to yourself is the issue of believing those precious promises, accepting them as true, because you know the source is true. And the source cannot fail. So if you don't walk in faith, you will not enjoy. You are a new person. You are a new creation. But you cannot enjoy that position of the new creation. And I believe that is why we did a quick follow-up after all that was taught at the beauty of the cross, to look at the issue of faith in this month of April and then the month of May. We want to come to a point of understanding this issue of faith and what it does for us. Hebrews 11 verse 6, what does it say? What does it say? But without faith, it is impossible to do what? And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And let me add this one. Believe that he is what he says he is, or who he says he is. He that cometh to God. So you can claim to be God's own child, but you don't believe in what he has said about you. You don't believe his promises. They are logical. You can't read any logic in them. And that's the problem with many academics. All these book-long people. Assembly and Tausumunawasum. You have Asum. You have ears. You don't subject what God has said to analysis with this your small mind. Sometimes when I read some theological books, I'll come across some things and I will use my Bible and cancel them. That this is wrong. I don't care who is in authority. I'm talking from a point of view of God, where the Holy Ghost is at work addressing issues. You can't use theology to confuse me. If your theology is not connected to life, it's no theology. How is it connected to life? What God has said. Don't carry theories. Don't bring theories there. What God has said. When you were saying those things, you were not there. When the Bible was written, you were not there. When the inspiration came, you were not a particle of the inspiration. Just say, take what God has said. Am I a fool? Yes, you must be a fool to be wise. You must be what? A fool to be wise. You must be a fool to the extent that you believe everything that God has said. Then when the products come, people will know that indeed you are right. But don't analyze God's words and then say, if he had added this one. So he gave us a strong warning. Don't add and don't do what? Subtract. Be an addict to God's word. An addict of God's word. The word is true. The word cannot fail. The word will always bring a change in my situation, in my life. And that is what happens to the people whose heart pants after the word of God. God has spoken once, but twice have I heard that all power belongs to who? To God. One day I told you about a message that, a sharing that a resident pastor did some years back when we were worshiping at Buddha Praise. He titled that one, "Don't Rush Out." You don't rush out of God's presence. You may suffer injuries. Don't rush out. Stay there. If you don't understand, ask him questions. Let the Holy Ghost help you to take what God has said, those promises. Take them before you can feel, you can understand, you can enjoy that you are a partaker of the divine nature. It's not by word. It's not by word. Talk the word to yourself. Speak the word to yourself. Speak it to yourself. You will come to a point where you see the word producing in your life. Partakers of the divine nature. You've got to walk by faith and walk in faith. Hallelujah. I've talked about the sovereignty of God. I've talked about the love of God. I've talked about the infallibility of the word of God, that the word cannot fail. That these are to give you assurance. And the work that was done by Christ was thorough and complete. Whatever needed to be done for us to become partakers was done. The appropriation, applying the elements to ourselves is what the matter is. And you have no choice, because Ephesians 1:3 tells us something. Can we go there? How many of you have gone to Cocoa Farm before? What did you go there for? Yeah. What? Okay, so you saw cocoa. Is it bones you are talking about? Okay. You saw cocoa. That's how far you went. Has anybody gone further than that? Yes, you. You went to harvest. Cocoa. Where? Where? Achimasafo. How did you harvest the cocoa? What's the name of that? What did she say? You know, those who read and Greek, they call that instrument go to hell. Is there any other name that you know? Please sit down. Any other name? Now, the cocoa pods were there, ready for harvest. Some of them beyond your reach. And the cocoa tree is not that strong. If you climb a certain point, you may drop. So they came out with a device, a long pole with a circle on it. In those days in the villages, they would just cut a pole like that, and then another piece of wood, and they tie to create the ark. Those would be problem, they say. If you are not ready for that going to hell, then you are not ready to partake of the goodness of cocoa. You have done the planting, you have done the weeding, you've watched over, God has given you rain and good weather, and the pots are here. That is money hanging up there. What are you going to use to bring it down? That is what the issue of faith is all about. Read what is there, everybody. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. This is not a wrong statement. This is truth. This is not falsehood. We are blessed. But in Christ, how will the blessing materialize or be crystallized in your own life? Faith. With faith, you are able to bring down the things that belong to you. So it's a very important subject that you must really pay attention to. How far are we from faith? You don't like me asking questions, but that's the way I teach. I want to feel what you are feeling. Are we very far? Is faith an impossibility? Somebody, please. Somebody from the choir. Somebody. Mrs. Amunu, is faith an impossibility? Why do you say so? Yes.
Once the word is in me, it's in us. We should be able to activate faith by the way.
How are you going to activate faith? When you say activate, it means there's something there, latent, that you are going to activate.
So by wisdom, the word that is in you, the
prof. Just put semicolon over there and let me go and gather something to come and help your own. Thank you very much. Yeah, anybody? Is that an impossibility? Is it too far from us? Oh, there is one scripture. It's in Romans. Yes. Yes, why?
Listen, so Romans 12, verse 3 says, "For I say to every man that is among you, through the grace given unto me, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." So God has actually given man a measure of faith. So faith is not something that is impossible because God has already granted it.
Good. Good. Now you see, maybe my question didn't was so well defined. So forgive me. Yeah. The importance of faith is seen in that scripture. God has given So every one of us have obtained, we have obtained the measure of faith. You see, that measure of faith, I don't know how you want to understand it. You want to measure it? If you have faith as tiny as the mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And it will be so, because the mountain must obey you. That means that measure of faith is able to handle every situation. But when we keep on with the word of God, we are adding to our faith. We are strengthening our faith. We are activating it. All the words that were used. Your faith now begins to grow and it gets better and stronger, better and stronger. But God knows, He knew and He still knows that we can't do anything without faith. That's why He gave everyone the measure of faith. It came by infusion. Is it blood, by blood transfusion? How did He put it there? Hello? How did He put it there? Hosea? How? How did God put the faith there? Don't talk too much. Just one word, you'll be okay. Yes? Who was instrumental in your new birth? Hallelujah. You mentioned new birth, and that's the truth. But it is by the Spirit of God. God gave us that measure of faith. That is the faith that made you to accept the word that Jesus came to die for you. That is the faith that was given you by the Spirit of God for you to be saved. Ask anybody who has refused to be born again. When you talk to them, they will tell you, "Look, last week, maybe did come," he said. "With our own memory." But stubbornness, just like I was for some years. Almost everybody was prophesying to me, almost everybody. You preach the gospel, you preach. I said, "Look, one day I told them, I said, go and tell God that if he is short of staff, I'm not the one he's going to call. You can't beat God, I'm telling you." I think he heard me and he laughed. So I will show you. You will not only preach it, you will suffer for it. That is what he told Saul. I'll make him to suffer. And I've seen some. I have. You have the measure of faith already put there by the Spirit of God, and now it is your responsibility to go deeper into God's word and begin to walk by faith in the words that you have heard. When I came to understand this simple thing, I began to ask myself, so what are you doing? Do I have to pray for things to happen? No, it shouldn't be so. I only have to be conscious of the fact that I have enough faith for a change to take place. You have enough faith to get a husband. Enough faith to have the admission. That measure of faith is there. A young man who was reading law. It was in Nigeria at the University of Jos. He was reading law on part-time basis, and then they wanted to bring some of them from the part-time, give them scholarship, and let them be there on full-time. And the panel was a panel of 13 professors. and whatever, all this degree, long degree, LLM, LLC, LL, special place. And he didn't have anyone to talk for him. Most of the people had people to talk for them. So he went to his room and carried a chair and put it there. And then he said, "Lord, sit down. You didn't call me to compete with people who don't know you. There's only one vacancy, and it is for me." When he finished, your boy said, "Rise." Then he put, sit down, I think about six or so, and he began to call. He got the list of all those who were going to be on the panel. And he called them, "Professor so and so, I want you to go there for that meeting. I'm your candidate. Dr. So and so, I'm your candidate. You know, I'm your candidate. All of you are going to speak for me." They sat. They went for the interview. And then, you know what they do behind the curtains? Everybody was jockeying for his candidate. So the head of the school said, "There is one candidate nobody has talked about. Let's give it to him." And that was the fellow. What he did, if anybody has seen him from outside, they would have said that he was a madman. Who is on that seat that you are talking to? But that is how far he went. Desperate measures are required for desperate situations. Your faith will always open the door for you. No matter what. No matter what. You don't have to know anybody. You've got to know you. The you that is inside you. That new generation that is in you, the one that is having fellowship with the Holy Ghost. The two of you together, you can move mountains. You can bring things to come to bear on your behalf. You are not alone. Come to a point of consciousness that you are a great force. You are a great force. No one can put you down. Your faith is enough to carry you from one level of height to the other. Friends, this is what you must contend for. It's a contend endlessly for the faith. We must contend for it. God has never failed us once, and He will never fail us. Let us wake up and trust God that whatever He has said, He is able to do. He loves to do it. The man came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, if you can, heal my son." He said, "If you can believe, it's over." I didn't know that is a secret. Then have my own belief. If only you can believe. Let me close with this. Jeremiah 32. Let's read verse 27 first. And then we go to verse 17. And then we close. Can we read that together? "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" God asked the question. "Behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh, the God of everybody. Is there anything too hard for me?" And then he answered by himself. 17. Let's read that one. "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretch out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." There is nothing too hard for you. So when you look at your challenge, you hear the voice of God. Is there anything too hard for me to do? And then it's no. There is nothing too hard for you to do. He's a God of all flesh. He is your God. He's your maker. He's the one who loves you. The one whose program for you is to see you gliding and rising higher and higher on a constant basis. There is nothing too hard. So what challenge are you going through? What God has said will surely come to pass, because there is nothing too hard for Him to do. Rise to your feet, please. I want to give you the opportunity to present that thing that has become a challenge in your life. There is nothing that He cannot handle. Just appear before Him now in simple faith and tell Him about that one and trust Him for a change in your life. Lift up your voice and speak. Present that matter to Him. Present that matter to Him. There is nothing too hard for Him to do. So your situation is not too hard for Him to handle. That sickness is not too hard for Him to handle. That business problem is not too hard for Him to handle. Your marriage matter is not too much. It's not too hard for Him to handle. What is it that you want God to handle? That you have always considered, that it appears too big for Him to handle? Nothing. I'm the Lord, so He says, the God of all flesh, there is nothing too hard for me. So agree with Him this morning. Agree with Him and tell Him, Father, I know that there is nothing too hard for You to do. And so this, my challenge, call it by name, is not difficult for You to handle. I receive solution today. I enjoy Your intervention today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God.
God bless you for listening to this message. You can also enjoy our messages on Anchor, Spotify, Podcast Addict, and all other podcast platforms. Visit us at Dominion Chapel International, the special place near the XGI building, Shashi, Accra. Do remember to subscribe to this podcast to receive more life-impacting teachings by our seasoned ministers of the gospel every single week. You can also follow DCI, the special place, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Always remember that God loves you.